real know-it-all? Do you annoy your family by shouting the answers while watching Jeopardy? Do you drive people crazy when you start a sentence with, "Well, actually"? Well, guess what? You can go fact yourself. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Go Fact Yourself, the show where we take the smartest people we know and make them look dumb, and then smart again. I'm Helen Hong, and now from the Angel City Brewery in downtown Los Angeles, here's our moderator, J.K. Van Stratten.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. Nice to see y'all. You know, Helen, I was thinking what might be a fun thing for us to do at the top of the show is to have some casual banter.
Okay. Let's do it.
You go first.
Why, Jay Keith, those are some snazzy glasses you're wearing. Too bad the podcast audience can't see them.
Today on Go Fact Yourself, two guests will compete to answer questions about facts they know, facts they might not know, and frankly, facts they should know. Plus, we'll meet actual experts in two very different topics, and finally, we'll declare one of our guests the winner of today's show. Let's get started and meet the first of today's guests. Helen, who's up first?
He is a writer, a comedian, editor-at-large for Esquire magazine, and host of the podcast International Waters. It's Dave Holmes!
Dave Holmes!
Woohoo!
Hello, Dave Holmes, welcome to the show!
Hi, Dave Holmes!
I'm just going to wave at you because you're too far away. Hi, everybody.
Hello, please. Make yourself comfortable. You got your beer. You got a blazer.
You don't want me to do the entire show like this?
That's fine.
Suit yourself.
No, it's fine. You've got a good chiropractor?
No, don't.
Again, a nice visual joke for our listening audience.
Hi, Dave Holmes.
Hi, Helen Holmes.
You got your beer. You're warmed up.
Sure do. Yeah.
Excellent.
Well, one of those statements is true. We'll see how we do.
Now, Dave, you are an editor-at-large for Esquire magazine.
That
what is
correct.
An editor-at-large?
That is a person who contributes but doesn't have to be in the office or sit through meetings of any kind.
Oh, my God. How'd you do that?
It's so great. You're not going to make, not to be tacky, but it's the world of magazines. Mm-hmm. And so when it came time to, like, negotiate a contract, it was like, there's only so far you're going to get with money. Then it's like, let's negotiate a fancy sounding title.
Oh,
so we
nice.
Came up with editor-at-large. And it was
Ooh.
Like, also, how about I never have to go there?
Oh, nice.
And I can just be at home.
So
how
it's
about
got
I can
nothing
do...
to do with an editor that doesn't diet?
No, not at all.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks,
but it
guys.
Sounds cool, right?
It does, absolutely.
Thanks for that light chuckling.
It means...
I appreciate it.
Editor-at-large means writer in pajama bottoms.
Oh,
wow, that yeah. sounds amazing.
Do we want to know what's on top?
No, you don't.
Okay, fantastic.
No, you don't.
Now, as Helen mentioned, you are the host of the podcast International Waters.
Yes, I am.
Also our sister show on Maximum Fun.
In the great Max Fun family.
Absolutely. How long have you been doing that show?
How long have I been doing that? I think about 4 years now.
Excellent.
Wow.
Yeah. And now, of course, we're just starting. This is our fifth episode. Uh-huh. What can we learn from your experience doing a podcast game show on the Maximum Fun Network?
Never read reviews.
Okay, that's good.
Never read reviews. Not that we've ever gotten bad reviews. I mean, I don't know because I don't read them. But like the secret for everything in this world is never, ever read a review.
Oh, it's so true.
That way lies madness. You'll go crazy.
But yeah. As a writer for Esquire, aren't you also writing reviews of other things?
Yes, I am. That those people should never read.
Okay, great.
Ever. Ever.
So you really value your own work in the sense that nobody should read it.
No. I mean,
other people should read it,
right. But just the people who made the things that I make fun of when I write should not read them.
Don't read reviews about the thing. If you're the one getting reviewed,
yes.
Don't read
right.
your own reviews.
That's so
exactly
the fact
right.
that you've been reviewed does not change how you review other people. It does not give you a sense of, empathy or compassion.
No, not at all.
Okay, excellent.
No.
Excellent. No. It's called show business, ladies and gentlemen.
That's exactly right.
Dave
it's
Holmes,
Thunderdome.
Ladies and gentlemen. Helen, who will Dave Holmes be playing against this evening?
She is the lead singer of the band Save Ferris, whose EP Checkered Past is available now. It's Monique Powell!
Monique Powell!
Wow! Welcome, Monique!
Hello, Monique! Monique also comes armed with a fine yes. flagon of mead.
Yeah. Yes, we made sure to be properly hydrated.
That's exactly
yes.
right. I'm showing a brewery. This is what's going
yes,
to
we're
happen.
We're at a brewery. Yeah. We yeah. must. This is not my first drink either.
Nice.
This is going to be a very fun show.
When now, at Monique, a brewery.
Now, Monique, it says here in my notes that you and I are dear friends who have known each other for a long time.
Yes, we are.
Really?
Yes.
Tell us more about that.
Well, I know you so well. I know what your drag name is.
What?
All right, you can tell them because I
can. I really tell them?
I don't remember, so go ahead.
Kiki Van.
Fantastic. That's so good.
Wow.
Can I also? That's so good. But can I? While we're doing this, can I tell you all mine?
Please.
Barbara Ganoush.
Brilliant.
Right,
Helen.
Brilliant. I don't have a drag name, and now I feel like a drag.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you know what? Maybe that'll be our bonus round. If one of you wants to come up with a drag name for Helen, we can get to that.
Wow, Monique, you are so stylish.
Why? Thank you.
You're like your look is. I know podcast audience can't see, but your look is like everything you'd want a rock star to look like.
Wow,
you're like
thank you.
Platinum blonde hair and lots of eye makeup. And
so I look like Sid Vicious.
Yeah.
Let's hope this goes better than that. Now, you reformed your band after taking some time off. What's it like to be back out there now after such a long time?
It's incredible because I can't believe I'm doing it because I'm in my 40s now, and I just got off of 7 weeks on the Warped Tour, and I was like the oldest lady on any of the stages there. And it was pretty cool.
Can you still relate to the young kids in the audience?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Can you still party as hard?
I partied harder than anyone on that tour.
Yeah,
girl.
That's always yeah like you did.
One other thing I wanted to ask you about. As your friend, I've been to an annual holiday party that you have, which I think is delightful. Can you tell us the name of that party that you throw?
Chris Mahana Kwanzaa.
Combining?
Chris Mahana Kwanzaa combines Jew food and holiday cheer.
Wait, Chris Mahana Kwanzaa?
Yes. Yes. 60 Christmas? Pounds of brisket.
Wow.
That's like four cows.
That's like almost four cows.
Excellent. Well, it's funny you mentioned brisket because we asked each of you to provide us with a few topics outside your field of work in which you feel you have expertise. Mm-hmm. Dave, you said you know a lot about Broadway musicals, beer commercials, and Melrose Place.
Yeah.
So brilliant.
Yeah.
And Monique, you told us you know a lot about cat behavior, natural remedies, and brisket.
Yes. Making 60 pounds of it a year would make you an expert.
And I can testify, she does know a lot about brisket. Later on, we'll ask each of you some in-depth trivia questions about one of those topics. But first, we're going to get your thoughts on something you might know nothing about. It's time to split some hairs with our What's the Difference round. Okay. Now, we'll have one question for each of you, each worth up to 3 points. Now, if either of you gives an incorrect answer, the other person has a chance to take away some of those points. So your subjects today are impair and pair. Up first, Dave and impair. Here's your question, Dave. There are so many ways nature can kill or impair us, but there are distinctions. So tell us, please, what is the difference between venom, poison, and toxin?
Okay.
Okay. You seem ready to go.
Okay.
Okay.
Venom is... venom must exist within a living creature, like a snake or a...
If only you could think of another living creature as an example.
Like an insect or something like that. Poison can be synthesized in a laboratory, whereas a toxin is naturally occurring.
Okay.
Wow.
So again, a venom occurs in an animal.
Yes.
A living thing, such as a snake, or if only we could think of something else. Yeah. Uh-huh. That lives, that is the snake.
Perhaps a bat.
A poison occurs
maybe
in a laboratory, or excuse me, a laboratory.
Yep.
And a toxin, again, is...
I believe naturally occurring.
Naturally occurring.
Yeah.
All right. We have Dave's answer. We don't know yet if he's correct. Monique, if you think he's wrong, you can steal the points by giving us the correct answer. Do you think that Dave is wrong?
Okay, so it's venom, toxin, or poison.
That's right.
I agree with him.
Okay.
I do.
That's funny because I just... disagreed with my own self. Like, while you were saying it, I would love to change my answer.
If only
but
we
I can't.
Could give Dave 2 the extra point, but no.
It's a ballsy move.
Yes,
ballsy
all right. This segment is making me itchy. Let's go to Helen Hong at the judges' table for the facts.
Okay, here are the facts. Poison is secreted, so the victim has to ingest or touch it.
I see.
Venom is injected, so the victim has to be bitten or stung. And toxin is any biologically produced chemical that alters the normal function of another organism. So poison and venom both are toxins.
That's right. So basically, if you bite it and you die, it's poison. If it bites you and you die, it's venom. And both are toxins.
No matter who's biting who.
Yes.
Okay. It's pretty close, though. Okay. It's pretty close.
So the laboratory really didn't have quite anything to do with it. So therefore, how many points did we give Dave on that?
I'm going
to
give Dave 1 point for the living creature aspect of his answer. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very generous.
Thank you.
Because a living creature is the thing that would bite you. mm-hmm. with venom. So, yes, Dave, 1 point.
Thank you. Excellent. In the future, I'm looking forward to robot bites.
Yeah, sure.
Right. Up next is Monique, your subject today, pears. The question to ponder, many words sound alike, many words look alike, many words are alike. So, when referring to a pair of words, what is the difference between a homonym, a homophone, and a homograph?
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you.
Okay. Homonym.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how to answer this right now, Gene.
You could just take one at a time, maybe.
Okay. A homonym. Can you help me?
I wish.
He's a writer.
Yeah.
He writes things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he knows all about...
Have you ever used pairs of words in your singing?
Probably.
Okay.
The way we do things in the music industry is we just, like, quit college after the first year. Just, like, say screw it to education. Mm-hmm. Like,
so this
music.
Is a good lesson for people, not just about word pairs, but about life.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So it's a homonym,
a homograph.
A homograph.
And a homophone.
A homophone.
So maybe just like take a stab at it.
So I'm just going to take a guess out of my tush right here. Homonym is probably two words that sound alike.
Okay.
Homonym. A homograph?
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's got to do with, that can't be just... I mean, that's got to be math or something. I don't know anything about math either. That's why that wasn't my topic. My topic was brisket.
Okay.
So
if you had to guess, and you do.
Yeah.
What would you say for homograph?
It would have to be like maybe two numbers.
Two numbers, all right. Looking and finally, a homophone.
A homophone, something has to do with sound, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
They sound alike.
All right, two words that sound alike. Now, we have Monique's answers. We don't know if she's correct yet. Dave, if you think she's wrong, you can steal the points by giving us the
definitely
correct answer.
Wrong.
Do you think Monique is wrong?
Definitely wrong.
I do know that. Okay. But just because I feel the energy coming off of
so
you.
Wrong. Why
but
am I here?
Know that you're right with homophone. Homophone. It's two words that sound alike, but are spelled differently and mean different things. Homonym is different words that all mean the same thing. And homograph... is a word that is spelled exactly the same as another word, but means the completely different thing.
That's exactly what I said.
Not actually at all.
Not really.
All right.
exactly what I said without saying it.
All right. So many words, so many pairs, so many beers. Let's go to Helen Hong at the judges' table for the facts.
Homophones are simply words that sound the same, like lesson with an E and lesson with an O, as in, I will teach you a lesson to lessen your ignorance.
Okay.
Homographs are words that are spelled the same but have different meanings, like tear and tear.
That's what you said.
As in, I shed a tear whenever I tear a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Homonyms are words that are spelled the same and sound the same. So a homonym is both a homophone and a homograph, like address. As in, I went to my boyfriend's address to address his darn cheating.
That's beautiful.
Where did you get these examples?
They were in the script. But
fair enough.
But I changed them up.
All right, very good. Yeah. So what does that mean as far as our points go? Looks like they each got some points on this one.
Yeah, so Monique gets 1 point for homophone, and Dave, you get 2 points, successful steal on homograph and homonym.
Very nice, Dave. Helen, what is our score after the first round?
After our first round, Dave has 3 points and Monique has 1 point.
All right, but those scores are bound to change as we move on to questions about topics our guests have chosen for themselves. Okay. That's all up ahead when we come back on Go Fact Yourself.
Woo!
Now a word from our sponsor. Say, Helen, you always seem to wear just the right outfit for any occasion. What's your secret?
Thanks, J. Keith. The key to my look is XCVI.
XCVI?
Yes, XCVI. It's Roman numerals for 96 because the company was founded in 1996.
Well, wait a second. XCVI, it's now MMXVIII, carry the V. Why, that's XXII years.
That's right, J. Keith. And in all that time, XCVI has grown into a clothing brand that specializes in comfortable and chic clothes that are ethically made.
Well, where can people find XCVI clothes?
XCVI is available at its own retail stores, at department stores like Nordstrom, and online at XCVI.com.
Whoa.
I know. And you can save 10% on your purchase at xcvi.com by using code Helen at checkout. Offer valid through February 28th, 2018.
Well, people better hurry up if they want to use your coupon code.
I know, guys. I'm a coupon code.
XCVI.
Fashion you can live in. Welcome back to Go Fact Yourself, where our score is Dave Holmes with 3 points and Monique Powell with 1 point. Once again, here's J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you, Ellen Hong. Thanks, everybody. Now, Dave Holmes, of your many interests, you told us that you know a lot about Broadway musicals, beer commercials, and Melrose Place.
Yeah.
Today, we want to talk to you about Melrose Place.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Here we go.
You seem relieved and excited.
Well, you know, we're going to go on a journey together. We are.
A journey to Melrose Place.
To Melrose Place.
What do you like about Melrose Place so much?
It was like a beautiful moment in my life. I was in college. We would meet at the campus pub on Wednesday nights. We would watch The Hills. We'd watch The Place.
Wow.
And we would eat popcorn. And it was like a spinoff of 90210, and it was very earnest, and then it got real trashy real quick.
Oh, yeah.
And there was like a gay character on it who you saw for like 5 minutes a season. He would like walk through the back of the frame, and they'd be like, he's gay, and that was great, like at the time.
Well, listeners today probably don't know that that really was a big deal. This
was
in, what, early, mid-90s.
Yes.
And we hadn't had a main gay character, let alone who had a love story. Well, such as it was.
Well, okay.
Okay.
There was, and I think in like season 4 or whatever, there was finally like a gay kiss on Melrose Place. And it happened out by the pool, as these things often do. And Matt, and I don't remember who the other person was, their heads slowly started to come together, and then it just, like, it went to someone's reaction, like, from the window of one of the apartments. Like, I think it was Andrew Hsu, like that. And then you didn't see anything, but it was like the first gay kiss on Fox.
What a tease.
It was groundbreaking.
And do you have any favorite episodes or favorite moments?
Oh, boy. I think the moment when I said that Melrose Place was one of my interests because I was, like, trying to think of things, and then I hit send, I think that was a great moment.
Okay.
That was a great moment. So now
good
we'll
to see
how
you
that...
are taking this show seriously.
Yeah, sure. So now we'll see how that plays out.
Well, let's expose your ignorance with 5 trivia questions.
No, I do love it.
No. I'm sure you're going to do... I actually think you're going to do quite well on this.
Okay.
Now, just ahead, we're going to enlist the help of a bona fide expert on Melrose Place to test your mastery.
If it's Sydney, I'm going to lose my... lose our collective mind.
Now, before that, to let you show your love, here are 5 trivia questions about Melrose Place, each worth 1 point.
Great.
Now, if you want it, you're allowed a hint for any 2 of these 5 questions.
Okay.
Now, Monique, listen closely, because if Dave answers incorrectly and you know the correct answer, you can steal and make Dave feel horrible.
Yep.
Now, Monique, by the way, how much do you know about Melrose Place?
Very little.
Excellent. This will be a lot of fun.
Those days are like a blur.
All right. Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be clearer for Dave. Dave, here is your first question about Melrose Place. Number 1, despite appearing in about 200 episodes of Melrose Place, what cast member was always listed in the opening credits as special guest star?
Well, that would be Heather Locklear as Amanda Woodward.
That is correct.
That is correct.
Yeah.
You've got more to say about this?
Well, I mean, obviously we've got a lot to say about Heather Locklear. I think each one of us in this room has a lot to say about
Heather. I've got plenty to say.
Yeah, it was, that was that moment where the show really tipped into soap opera.
Yeah.
It became really crazy because it was so earnest and 30-something-esque and whatever, and people did not want that at all, certainly
boring.
Not from Fox. So like, Heather Locklear became the special guest star, and then she became the star of the show.
Yeah.
But she never relinquished the special guest star interest.
Because she's special.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Heather Locklear.
Yeah.
She brought the trashiness out. God bless her.
Damn right. Yeah.
All right, you're doing very well. Here is question number 2.
Oh, boy.
In a memorable episode, Sydney and her sister Jane get into a fight in the swimming pool.
Uh-huh.
What was Sydney wearing?
I believe she was wearing a wedding dress.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct.
Wow.
I feel so alive.
It was actually their grandmother's wedding dress that they were fighting over.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to think in my head like who she was marrying, and I can't quite place it right now.
Yes.
Well, but I do remember that. Who could forget?
Oh, I want to YouTube this immediately.
Sure.
It's pretty great.
I'll recreate it for you if we can.
Okay, very good. All right, you're 2 for 2. Here's number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't just on camera where notable names appeared on the show.
Sure.
Which former cast member of Happy Days directed several episodes of Melrose Place?
I will, okay, I mean, I think it's a little beneath Ron Howard. I mean, maybe not.
Well, maybe between Cocoon and Cocoon 2 or something.
True, yeah. True. Yeah, I don't quite think that that would be...
Okay. You do have a hint available if you'd like to use the hint.
Yeah, no, I'm not... Okay. I don't want to go out like that.
Okay.
I mean, I spent all weekend writing hints, but if you don't want to use them, it's fine.
I do believe Anson Williams does some TV directing, so I'm going to say Anson Williams.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct. Yes! Anson Williams. Yes!
Wow.
He played Potsy on Happy Days and has directed several TV series, as you mentioned.
Great.
All right,
great.
Here's number four.
Oh, boy.
What recurring guest star of Melrose Place spoke at the Republican National Convention in 2016?
Okay, I know this one, guys and gals. Okay, this is Kennedy Center honoree Antonio Sabato Jr.
Ellen?
That is correct.
Yep. It is correct.
Yep.
He is currently running for U.S. Congress, and I was hoping you were going to ask for the hint, because Helen, give us the hint.
The hint is so epic. Okay. His character fell from a balcony, survived, then while in the hospital, after his wife tried to unplug his breathing machine, grabbed her and pulled her into his bed, but died from the effort.
Wow.
I mean,
come on. And
again,
I'm pretty sure that was the character that he played.
Yeah.
And not Antonio Sabato.
Well, I mean, listen, I know his son, because, you know, he used
Antonio Sabato III?
No, that's not his name. But yeah, Antonio Sabato Jr. and Virginia Madsen used to go out, and they have a kid together.
Really?
Yeah, and Virginia is I'm going to drop names. She's a friend.
Oh.
So I bump into Jack Sabato Jr. once in a while. He's like
Jack
studying
Sabato
to be a video game designer. He's just like he's like early 20s.
Wow.
Bunch of tattoos. It's very cool.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, you're doing very well. Here's your fifth question. Melrose Place, of course, took place on Melrose Place.
That's
but correct. At what address number on Melrose Place?
I will need both of my hints.
All right. You get one hint per question,
I
so this is
two
your
hints.
Hint. Helen, how about a hint for this?
It is a four-digit number, and two of the digits are the same.
1225.
Helen, is it 1225?
It is not 1225.
No, I'm sorry, but Monique, an exciting opportunity for you to steal.
2320.
Was it 2320?
It's not 2320.
No, I'm sorry. No. The correct answer is 4616.
That's what I said.
If only they showed it on every single episode.
Yeah, sure.
And fun fact, that's also my pin.
That's my pin. What?
It's everybody's pin.
Yeah.
4616. All right.
My password for everything.
Despite that last question, you did very well in that round. But now, here's your expert level question that requires multiple answers.
Okay.
It's time for your cluster fact.
Okay.
Now, this question is so high level, we'll be bringing on an expert to assess your response. You may know this right away. You may need to think on it. The correct answer is worth up to 3 points.
Okay.
Here we go. In season 3, while on a boat, Jo shot and killed the father of her unborn baby.
That's correct.
Later, that baby was kidnapped twice.
Yes.
For up to 3 points, name the baby and tell me who kidnapped the baby the first time and who kidnapped the baby the second time.
This is a crazy question. That's like a three-part question.
It really is.
It's not even fair.
Yeah.
Expert level.
We don't mess around here on Go Fact Your
Okay. Okay, I'm going to start with the second part because I remember that at least one of the groups of people that kidnapped the baby was the parents of the father of the baby who she shot. And I think his name was Reed, and he was played by somebody very handsome. Mm-hmm. And so maybe the first then person who kidnapped the baby was the father, and there was a tussle, and she shot that man. And the baby was named Alex.
Alex the baby.
Alex the baby.
All right. All right, Helen has taken note of your answers. We have an expert on hand who can tell us for sure. Helen, who do we have tonight?
Oh my God.
Here with us tonight, we have the co-founder of a popular celebrity fashion blog who's written about Melrose Place for The Cut, Television Without Pity, and Vulture. It's Jessica Morgan!
Jessica Morgan!
Yeah. I've also a huge safe
there stamp. Thank you! Hello, Jessica. Please have a seat at the microphone.
Yes.
Hi, Jessica.
My whole college was spent watching Melrose Place and listening to Say Ferris, so this is very exciting.
Oh, very nice.
We make dreams come true here at
You
Go
did. I'm delighted.
Now, before we get further, I want to mention that Helen, of course, introduced you by saying that you are the co-founder of a popular celebrity fashion blog. What is the name of your celebrity fashion blog?
It's called
go fug yourself.
Yes! Yes!
Finally, the crossover episode people have been waiting for.
Exactly. Yes.
Of go fug and go fag.
Exactly. Synchronicity. Yeah. Synchronicity.
That's right.
Meant to be.
Where did the name go fug yourself come from?
I don't really remember. We've been running the blog since 2004, my writing partner, Heather Cox, mm-hmm. and I. And I think we just thought it was like sort of a dirty pun that people would remember. And if I knew that I was going to have to tell my parents that that's what the site was called, I might have called it something different.
Okay. Is it yeah. Go Fug, like F-U-G?
Fug, like fugly. Yeah. I do really have to hit the G when I tell people yeah. what the site yes. is called, because otherwise they think I'm being very rude to
yes.
them.
Yeah. Well, we have also a lot we can discuss about this, yes. very, this very topic.
That's
and then you also, I'm sorry, Monique.
Sorry, that's also the name for a fake UGG boot.
Yes.
A fug.
Maybe we should yeah. start a line of fake Wait. UGG boots.
Yes, mm. exactly.
All right, now let's talk about the reason you're here tonight, is to talk about Melrose Place.
Yes.
Now,
okay.
on Television Without Pity, you wrote a recap of one episode of Melrose Place that was 13 pages long.
Yes.
Wow.
That was, Why? Like, not even that long, to be honest with you. Yeah.
What about that episode warranted such a long description?
Well, the reason I recapped it was because at the time we were doing some sort of, like, it was a fundraiser, and the readers asked me to recap, I would say, the best episode ever of Melrose Place. Yes.
This is the wig?
Yes. When Kimberly rips off her wig. And honestly, I could have written for 45 pages about
wow.
this seminal moment in television history when Dr. Kimberly Shaw returns from the dead and rips off her wig.
Wow.
That
it is like the best moment of TV ever.
Yeah.
And has Melrose Place influenced your writing to this day? I know in some of your work, it comes up as a reference from time to time.
Yeah, I think anyone who loves a good soap opera, Melrose Place has to have influenced them in many ways. I mean, anytime a woman rips off her wig, how can that not really make a deep impact on you as a young woman?
Fair enough. Do you have a wig you would like to rip off tonight?
No, but I first of all, frankly, I too wish I were Sydney. I would just like to state that for the record.
No, I mean, listen,
and I'm sort of sad I did not wear a wig that I could dramatically take off.
Oh, that would have been so
good.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, next you guys. I just
all
really
right,
let,
let's get to the reason that
let
we,
everyone down.
Let's get to the reason that we have you here tonight. You heard the question that we asked Dave. As a reminder, it was about when Joe shot and killed the father of the unborn baby. Later, the baby was kidnapped twice. For up to 3 points, we asked Dave to name the baby and tell us who kidnapped the baby each of those times. Helen, let's remind everyone Dave's answer first. What did Dave say the name of the baby is?
Dave said the name of the baby was Alex.
And Jessica?
That is not right. It is Austin.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
you got the
okay.
A right.
Would never
yeah.
have gotten
I would never
yep.
have gotten that either.
All right. And then we asked Dave who kidnapped the baby the first time. Helen, what did Dave say?
Dave said the father of the baby.
No. In fact, the first person who kidnapped the baby was Dr. Kimberly Shaw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, of course.
Of wig-ripping yes. fame? Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. Yeah. Now, that probably wouldn't be a surprise to most people who watch the show, because it seemed like if there was anything untoward, Kimberly was going to
yeah,
be involved.
Yeah, she's
somehow.
A baby kidnapper,
yeah,
for sure.
Yes, absolutely.
yeah.
But misunderstood, but a baby kidnapper.
And finally, we asked Dave who kidnapped the baby the second time. Helen, what did Dave say?
Reed's parents, who are the baby's father's parents.
This was very close. Mm-hmm. He was actually kidnapped by Emily, the nanny who was hired by Reed's parents to watch the baby.
So pretty close. I think we'll be able to give you a half point.
Do you think
we can give him a half point on that?
Totally. Yes.
I'll take a half point. 100%. I'll take a half point.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Well, Jessica, if people want to learn more about your work, where can they find you?
You can find me at my website. Go fug yourself. F-U-G. And we're at Fug Girls on Twitter, where we spend a lot of time talking about like bad celebrity outfits and how much we hate Donald Trump.
Yay! Jessica Morgan, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay!
So
Helen, let's get a score recap after that round.
Dave has 7.5 points, strong showing, and Monique has 1 point with a round of questions coming up.
That's right. We'll talk with Monique about a topic she knows about. Plus, later, Dave and Monique will go head-to-head in our Fast Facts round to find a winner on Go Fact Yourself right after this.
There, I'm film critic April Wolf and host of the Maximum Fun podcast, Switchblade Sisters. Do you love genre films? Do you love female filmmakers? Do you love discussions on craft? If your answer is yes, you'll love Switchblade Sisters. Every episode, I invite one female filmmaker on, and we talk in depth about their fave genre film and how it influenced their own work. So we're talking horror, action, sci-fi, fantasy, bizarro, and exploitation cinema. Mothers, lock up your sons, because the Switchblade Sisters are coming for you. Available at MaximumFun.org or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Adam Conover. You may know me from my True TV show, Adam Ruins Everything. Well, guess what? Now we're doing a podcast version right here on Maximum Fun. What we do is we take all the interesting, fascinating experts that we talk to for just a couple minutes on the show, and we sit with them for an entire podcast, really going deep and getting into the fascinating details of their work. Find Adam Ruins Everything wherever you get your podcasts or at MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back to Go Fact Yourself, where our score is Dave Holmes with 7.5 points and Monique Powell with 1 point. Once again, here's J. Keith Van Stratton.
Thank you, Helen. Thanks, everybody. All right, Monique, let's get some points on the board here. Now, of your many interests, you told us that you know a lot about cat behavior, home remedies, and brisket. Today, we're going to talk to you about cat behavior.
Yay!
Meow.
And by the way, I'm happy to just end the show now and just exchange photos of our cats with each other. But
which we did for about half an hour before the show already.
Yes. So for the people who don't know, we assume you have cats?
I have 17 cats.
What?
No, I'm just kidding. I have two.
You have two. Tell us about your lovely little furry guys. Or your cats. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. They were little bottle-fed rescues, and they're brother and sister, and they hate each other.
And have you noticed any odd behaviors in your time having
them? Yeah, no. If I, don't give the boy enough attention, he craps on the bed.
Oh.
Yeah. He's very direct.
He is. He's very direct. He makes it very clear to all of us that he's unhappy with my behavior.
Now, you showed me a cute little video of one of your cats. Tell us about what you
showed
him.
That's Old Blue. Yeah, so he's named after the character in Old School. He likes Moscow mules, and he likes to watch me while I undress.
Oh.
So.
And again, we're talking about your cat, not your husband, right? Okay.
No, it's pretty
creepy. Sounds like a lot of boys I know.
Now, have you ever successfully modified a cat's behavior?
Yeah, with a spray bottle.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah,
that
spray bottle works.
Wait, did you bottle feed your cats?
I did.
As from tiny kittens?
I did.
Oh, so you're really their mommy.
I really
and
am.
And one of them is still mean to you.
Yeah, the girl.
That's kind of why I like cats.
Yeah.
They don't hold a grudge, but they also don't hold the opposite of a grudge.
No.
Yeah.
No. The girl is kind of, you know, her name is Miss Lilu Marie Tiger Song. Because I feel like every, person or animal that's naughty needs a middle name. So Marie is her middle name. You know, Lilu Marie, whenever you get mad, Lilu Marie, need a middle name.
But she doesn't crap on the bed. It's the boy cat that craps
on the bed. Well, actually, there was someone pissing on the bed, and we thought it was the boy, but then one day,
caught red-handed.
The girl was kind of making it seem like it was the boy doing it. She's very smart.
Okay, remind me if I go to your house to never sit on the bed.
Wait, wait, I just want to go back to this.
Yeah.
The girl cat was framing the boy cat?
She was, because she hates him. No, really, they hate each other. She hates him.
But how did she frame him?
She would, because he's the bed crapper, we assumed that he was the bed peer.
Ah, I see. So she peed on the bed and then left the room.
And one day we caught her and she was on the bed like a possum.
So she's like, uh-oh.
We're like, oh my God, we found out who the peer is. Yeah.
All right. Wow.
So...
Well,
fascinating.
Just ahead, we'll enlist the help of a bona fide expert in cat behavior to test your mastery in this subject with our expert level questions worth up to 3 points.
Yeah.
But before that, just to give you a chance to show off, here are 5 trivia questions about cat behavior, each worth 1 point. Now, if you want it, you're allowed a total of 2 hints among these 5 questions. Dave, if you know the questions that Monique gets wrong, you can steal. By the way, how much do you know about cat behavior?
Pass.
As much as I know about Melrose Place.
Yeah. What do you have, a dog?
Ew, yes.
Gross.
See, I'm with
lovely
you.
Dog.
Dogs
you
are,
dog.
Right. Sweet, let's face sweet it, dogs puppy. Are just better.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have a new co-host next show on Novak. No. We love everybody here.
Yes.
All right, here are the first of your 5 trivia questions, Monique.
Okay.
According to Best Friends Animal Society, what is the most common reason cats are brought to shelters?
Peeing.
Helen?
I'm going to give it to you. Litter box problems.
That's
there
right, yes.
Yeah.
Litter box problems is the number one reason. I mean, we do want the cats to pee.
It's
right, but
just
marking.
Yeah, it's
marking,
a matter of where.
I should say marking.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Number two. What is the proper term for the motion cats make by rhythmically alternating their paws, pushing in and out of a pliable object?
Kneading.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct. Also colloquially called making biscuits.
Yes, making biscuits.
That's right.
Kneading dough.
That's right. And actually just talking about it makes me want to go home and cuddle with my cat right now.
Aww.
But I will persevere for you people. All right, two for two. Here is number three. Aside from stretching, what's the main reason a cat will arch its back?
They will arch their back.
Oh. You can ask for a hint if you want.
Yeah, I'll take a hint.
Helen, how about a hint?
Here's the hint.
Okay, so
for those
by the way,
of,
Helen
to make
Hahn
themselves,
in the hand, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. And for those of you at home that are not here watching me, I've just made myself much bigger and gone.
Yes. Yes.
This is really why you need to come see the live show.
I hope
she's
photos have been taken.
How many cats? Do you have cats? You look like you're a cat lady.
No.
No. Okay. So
I'm definitely allergic.
Doesn't that sound like a compliment?
Yes. No, absolutely compliment.
No, absolutely. All right, let's get to our answer.
So they arch their backs to make themselves seem larger when in the presence of a potential enemy or threat.
Oh, that's so correct.
That's exactly correct. Very good.
My hint was so on point.
It was. You actually gave me the point.
Yes.
I feel guilty taking that point.
I want to find a way. I want to find a way to use that hint in every show. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, here we go, number four. Which of the following is not a sign that your cat is in heat? She moves her tail to one side, she tries to escape, she excessively licks her genital area, or she drinks more water?
I think maybe the tail to one side thing.
Helen?
No, that is not correct.
Incorrect. Oops. Dave with a chance to steal.
I'm going
to
say it's the drinking of water.
Helen?
That is correct.
That is correct. Oh. The dog guy gets the answer. And by the way, who's to say what's excessive genital licking? So much judgment. The moving the tail to one side is called a deflection reflex, which allows males easier access, if you know what I'm saying. It's
a family
show. All right, Dave got the steal on that, but you have a chance to get your point back on this one. Number five, Monique, as far as cat behavior is concerned, what is gaping?
Is gaping the thing they do with their mouths where it looks like they're breathing like a tiger, where they sort of open their mouth and breathe through their mouth like that?
Helen?
I think I'm going to give it to her. Yes.
That's right. Yay! It's when a cat...
Yes. We call it the tiger breath.
The tiger bath?
Tiger breath.
Tiger breath.
Breathing.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, because tigers do that in the wild.
Yeah.
It's when a cat partially opens its mouth for about 5 to 10 seconds. Sometimes it'll wrinkle its muzzle, lower its chin, and let the tongue hang out.
Yeah.
It's really creepy.
It's really creepy.
It's actually known as the Flamin response. Flamin response. and that is associated with the inhalation of odors and pheromones from other cats to gather social or sexual information about other cats. So when a cat gapes, it opens the passage for those odors to travel to the vomeronasal organ, which helps process the information.
Wow.
So very good on that. You got four out of five, I believe.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
But now here's your expert-level question that requires multiple answers. It's time for your cluster fact. We'll be bringing on an expert to assess your response. The correct answer is worth up to 3 points.
Okay.
Now, it drives cat owners crazy when cats scratch up the furniture, but there's a reason they do it. In fact, according to board-certified veterinary behaviorist Dr. Rachel Malamed, there are 3 reasons. So for up to 3 points, what are the scientific reasons that cats scratch stationary objects like furniture?
All right. So one is probably to file down their nails. Like, it feels good. They like doing that. The other is to mark their territory. And the third has something probably to do with pheromones. Because cats do everything because of pheromones.
Yep. I did it all for the pheromones.
Right.
Right.
That's right.
Okay. So
that's what I would say. Like, something having to do with the actual physical act of it and filing down their nails. The other having to do with the pheromones, and then the third having to do with marking their territory. But I think it also feels good for them.
Helen has recorded your answers. We have an expert on hand who can tell us for sure. Helen, who do we have?
Here with us tonight is a veterinarian and board-certified veterinary behaviorist, Dr. Rachel Malamed.
Dr. Rachel Malamed.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Malamed. Please move up and speak right into the microphone there. Hello.
Welcome.
Your name sounds very familiar to me. I believe I've said it in the question that we asked a moment ago.
She's famous. I'm very impressed, actually. You knew a lot about cat behavior. So.
Excellent. Now, not all behaviorists are veterinarians, and not all veterinarians are behaviorists. So what is the distinction?
So I'm a veterinarian first and foremost, and then I went back for additional residency training in clinical animal behavior, so behavioral medicine, which focuses on basically the science behind animal behavior and the psychology behind it and the medical aspects of it.
And how much do we know about why cats behave the way they behave? Are there still mysteries to the behaviorists?
Yes. I mean, if only they could talk to us and explain.
Oh, I bet they would say such bitchy things.
They would like, say, why do you make me watch you undress and go to the bathroom?
So, I mean, there's a lot of research. There are a lot of things that we do know, but, of course, they're still mysteries. So.
Sure. Now, you make house calls when you go to people's homes to help them with their pet's behavior. What are some of the more odd cases that you've seen?
I mean, the odd cases are usually the what we call repetitive behaviors, tail chasing, the over-grooming, sort of frenetic, unusual, abnormal behaviors.
And what do you consider excessive genital licking? Oh. Just, I'm asking for a friend.
I haven't actually quantified that.
Okay.
But
yeah, I mean, like, does somebody have to stand there with a clicker, like, every time? Now, you recommend people videotape their pet's behavior when they come to you. What's some of the weirder things that you've seen pets do on video?
I don't know if there's so many weird things. I think they're weird to the owners because they're unexpected things, especially, you know, what do our pets do when they're at home alone?
Oh, and, what have you seen?
You know, just sometimes absolutely nothing. And sometimes people think they're doing absolutely nothing, and then they discover, you know, that they're actually
reading
you know,
your diary.
Urinating, or they're destroying things, or they're, you know.
They're framing their sibling for a crime they did not commit.
Serious. No, they will wait till we're gone, and then they will pee and then blame it on the other one.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, no, obviously people know that, you know, dogs can be trained and behavior modified, but cats can have their behavior modified as well. Is it more difficult to train a cat? Why don't people think of cats as trainable?
I don't know why they don't think of cats is trainable. They are very trainable, and you know, it's all based on learning theory and positive reinforcement training and what they'll do for a treat. And you can train almost any animal.
And you said positive reinforcement. Yeah. So when Monique used a spray bottle, she's a horrible person.
I'm a horrible person.
No comments.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Well, let's get to the reason that we brought you here tonight. You heard the question that we asked Monique. As a reminder, we asked, according to somebody named Dr. Rachel Malamed, there are three scientific reasons that cats will scratch a stationary object like furniture. Helen, let's remind everyone of the three answers.
Monique said that cats scratch furniture to file down their nails, mark their territory, and because of pheromones.
And how did she do on that?
I think I would give you 2 out of 3 points, but the last answer sort of two of the answers overlap. So the first answer would be maintenance of the claws. So you got that correct. So they'll sort of condition their claws and remove the outer sheath, and also exercise the ligaments involved in protraction of the claws for hunting. And then secondly, they will mark with their claws, so as a visual marker to other cats, but also as a scent marker. So they actually have scent glands in their paws that they'll deposit these substances on the surface. And thirdly, it's for stretching. So, but the pheromones and the scent marking are
part of that same
similar
answer.
Yeah.
Right. But 2 out of 3, not bad, Monique Powell.
Thank you. And I just, for the record, I haven't used a spray bottle in probably 8 years.
Okay,
so.
I didn't mean to spray shame you. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. Don't spray shame me, bro.
If people want to find out more about your work, where can they find you?
BehaviorDoctor.com, and doctor is spelled D-O-G-T-O-R.
Behavior Doctor. Oh. All right, Dr. Rachel Malamed, ladies and gentlemen.
Doctor.
Helen, let's get a score recap.
At the end of that round, Dave Holmes has 8.5 points, and Monique Powell has 7 points.
Very impressive, but this, of course, is anybody's game with our final Fast Facts round coming up. We'll crown a winner when we come back on Go Fact Yourself. Woo! And now, a word from our alternate sponsor. Ugh.
What's wrong, J. Keith?
Helen, I'm on social media and things have gotten so toxic.
I know what you mean.
I mean, I don't want to not pay attention to the news, but I wish there were an account I could follow that just had nice things to look at, that aren't just selfies, food, and babies.
There is! Hopper Stone Photography on Instagram.
Hopper Stone Photography on Instagram?
Yep, that's exactly what I said. Follow at Hopper_Stone, and you'll see dozens of pictures with something fun to read that goes along with each one.
Well, who is this at Hopper_Stone?
He's a professional photographer who's covered world events and is the official on-set photographer for some of your favorite TV shows and movies. His Instagram feed shows some of the behind-the-scenes of Hollywood sets, plus shots from his phone camera. He's sharing moments that amuse and bemuse.
I like both of those things. I'm going to follow at Hopper_Stone on Instagram right now. At Hopper_Stone on Instagram.
Amuse.
Bemuse.
Give it your views.
Thanks, Hopper Stone.
Welcome back to Go Fact Yourself, where our score is Dave Holmes with 8.5 points and Monique Powell with 7 points. Once again, here's J. Keith and Stratton.
Thank you, Eleanor. Yeah. Thanks, everybody. What a game we've had tonight. Now it is time for our final round we call Fast Facts. I'll read 10 statements and each contestant will answer with true or false. I'll start with Dave and alternate between each guest. We'll keep the discussion to a minimum. Each correct answer is worth 1 point. And again, the answer to each statement is true or false. Are you ready?
Sure.
Monique?
Yeah, no, yes.
Monique?
I'm ready.
Good enough. All right, we're going to get you more beer soon. Here we go.
Right.
Let's begin. Dave, cube has 6 sides.
True.
Ellen? Correct.
Monique, the word Mississippi has 6 S's.
No, it has 4. False.
Ellen?
Correct.
That's right, it has 4. Dave, Die Hard was based on a novel.
False.
Ellen?
Incorrect.
No, it was based on a novel called Nothing Lasts Forever.
Yeah.
Monique, Die Hard 2 was based on a novel.
False.
Incorrect.
No, it was also based on a novel called 58 Minutes.
Unbelievable.
That's how I do most of my reading, is through the Die Hard movies.
What?
Dave, yes. George Washington founded the New York Post.
False.
Correct.
That's right. Alexander Hamilton did. Wow. Monique, there are 5 Major League Baseball teams in California.
False.
Ellen?
Incorrect.
No, that's true. It's the Padres, Dodgers, Giants, Athletics, and the only one that matters, the Angels.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dave, Nicolas Cage is a Best Actor Oscar winner.
True.
Correct.
That's right. He won for Leaving Las Vegas. Yeah. Monique, Bugs Bunny was the first cartoon character with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
True.
Incorrect.
No, I'm sorry. Mickey Mouse was first.
Oh.
Dave, California has a state dinosaur.
True.
Ellen? Correct.
That's right. As of the first of this year, the Augustinolophus morrisi. Woof. And finally, Monique, California has a state firearm.
False.
Correct.
That is correct. However, 8 states do, which are Alaska, Arizona, Indiana, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia. Let's give a nice hand to both of our guests, Monique Powell and Dave Holmes, as Helen tallies up the score. Helen, have you tabulated the score for tonight's game?
I sure have, J. Keith. Monique Powell has 9 points, and Dave Holmes has 12 and a half.
Congratulations to Dave Holmes. You are our facting champion.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Honestly.
They're clinking glasses still, friends. Dave, what will you do with your championship title?
So that's all I get is a title?
I mean, we gave you a beer, I think.
Okay, well, anyway.
Free appetizer?
What will I do? I mean, honestly, I will endeavor to be slightly more smug for at least the next 48
hours. That's what we asked for. All right, we want to give everyone a chance to promote any upcoming products, appearances, or services. Monique Powell, what do you have going on?
Oh, I'm writing a full-length record for Save Ferris, looking into Europe, thanks, touring Europe in the summer, and we're playing with 311 in San Diego in March, and we're doing a 2-day ska festival in Huntington Beach, April 28th and 29th.
Monique Powell, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Dave Holmes, top that.
Okay. You can find me on Twitter, at Dave Holmes, or on Esquire.com. My book, Party of One, is out in paperback with bonus material. I am going to figure out a way to hook up with Nick Hexum of 311. And the Friday 40 is the second Friday of every month at Nerd Melt in Hollywood. It's me and Scott Gimple, and it's even boozier than this.
They all, ladies and gentlemen. Your co-host has been Miss Helen Hong.
Yes. You can see my performance schedule on my website, helenhong.com, and follow me on the socials at funnyhelenhong, because some other girl named Helen Hong has my handles.
But she's not funny. Helen
I'm
Hong
the
is.
Funny one.
And me, you can follow me on social media at J_Keith. I actually will be a guest on Dave's show, International Waters, maybe by the time this thing drops, so please look for that. I'm very much looking forward to that. And that just leaves me to thank Dave Holmes, Monique Powell, Jessica Morgan, Dr. Rachel Malamed, Helen Hong. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, all at GoFactYourPod, and please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. I'm J. Keith Van Stratton. Good night!
Like what you hear? Come see us live. It's free. Go to GoFactYourPod.com for our schedule and tickets. And give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts like VF Glenn did. He said the show was super fun to listen to. Even though you misspelled two, that's okay. It's an example of a homophone. Thanks, VF Glenn. Go Fact Yourself is a panel quiz program devised by Jim Newman and J. Keith Van Stratton and comes to you via transcription from Angel City Brewery in downtown Los Angeles. Questions on Go Fact Yourself were compiled by the Trivia Industrial Complex. It is produced in collaboration with Maximum Fun. Maximum Fun's senior producer is Laura Swisher. The show is edited by Christian Duenas. David McKeever is our live sound engineer. Special thanks to Mike Aviano, CJ Miller, Stella Chow, Carl Mastro Marino, Don Chesbro, Linda Holmes, and Mark Johnson. Go Fact Yourself's theme song and incidental music were written and performed by Jonathan Green. I've been Helen Hong.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.